Bucks fans, Bucks fans, happy free agency on the Ira Kaufman podcast. It's Christmas time right here in March. That's what free agency is, and we all know it. Gifts under the tree to make our Buccaneers a better team. Now, this is a very special edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz from JoeBucksFan.com, and I am not going to be talking much longer because I'm not helping Ira host this podcast. That's how special it is. I can already hear all of you applauding big time. Lee DeKemper from JoeBucksFan.com also is not here. It's a meeting of the minds, a very special guest host of the Ira Kaufman podcast, and you don't want to miss it. Now, you probably know this host, but you know what? I'm going to leave this surprise, which will be coming up in about 1 minute, which I just can't wait. Can't wait either. All right. Ira's podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We're so grateful to them for their presentation of everything Ira, and what a place to go start your car shopping search. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com or EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Right now at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Morse has more. That's the theme this month. Morse has more, like more selection. Shop hundreds of brand new Cadillacs and more savings, like a new, brand new 2017 ATS sedan for just $299 a month. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon to get more or just get started. Click EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. You want to see dealer for all the details. Offer expires at month's end. And our friends, of course, at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, where I bought my last vehicle, on Fletcher, just west of I-275. That's Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. When you shop at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, you'll always get more for your trade, more savings, more selection, more customer benefits. Definitely visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and get more. And now you're going to get more than you bargained for tonight on the Ira Kaufman podcast. It's Thursday night.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. One heartbeat. Let's get it.
Oh, doctor. Kept towing along the sideline is Brent Grimes. Did he stay in bounds? One official looks at the other, and it is signaled a touchdown. And Winston throws, and that is a touchdown for Evan.
It's the podcast you've all been waiting for. It's a collaboration of sorts. It's where the Commish and Ira Kaufman square off and talk Bucks football for the next half hour. Only for you. We love it. So let's bring him in. I'm Justin Pulowski, and joining me is Ira Kaufman. Ira, how are you?
Commish, this is the and the song. McCartney or Charlie Watts. This is the way we start. You're the drummer. You keep the beat, and I'll take over the lead on stage. How do you like that?
I like it a lot, and there's a lot to like. See, I don't know what Bucks fans were more excited about today. The Bucks going out and signing DeSean Jackson and Chris Baker, and we'll talk about those guys, or the fact that you and I are getting together for a collaborative effort podcast breaking down their favorite team. I mean, what do you think the fans are more excited about?
Every time I do the podcast with Lee and Steve, they're always telling me about the big numbers you're putting up, Pulowski. Big numbers on iTunes. You're number one in the country. People can't get enough of you. And I keep saying, I'm coming on strong. I'm coming on strong. So, look, I'm looking up to you like, you know, you're number one on tennis courts. And, you know, I'm a little challenger. I got to work my way through the qualifying, but I'm coming after you, Justin. I just want you to know that.
I appreciate that, and I think competition brings the best out of everyone, Ira. And I appreciate you you keeping my foot on the pedal as well. But I'll tell you what.
I also want you to note to our fans, Justin, that I keep things clean.
Oh boy!
I drop a couple of big, you know, 11 letter words that Isbitson DeKemper can't even spell. And meanwhile, they're telling me that you're using every expletive deleted in the world. Is this true? Is
Correct.
This an X-rated podcast?
It is. And you use 11 letter words. I use 4-letter words, and a lot of them. And the fans.
I don't want you to change a thing, baby. Okay,
all right.
Keep doing
all right.
What you're doing.
Well, then we're going to keep that shit up right now. Ira, let's just dive right into this because we've got a lot to cover, and we got plenty of time to do it. But the big signing today, and we're recording this on Thursday night, free agency just started officially a little over 4 hours ago when we're recording this. But DeSean Jackson, they get him. They need weapons for Jameis Winston. They need speed on offense. This is an offense that didn't have a 50-yard pass last season, which is just mind-boggling to me. They went all in on DeSean Jackson, and they got him. Just talk to me about this move and what it means for this offense, for this team.
Well, JP, you know, there's some risk involved, some. But I would say it's minimal. This guy's had a problem in the past. He's been upset about his contract. That's not going to happen this season. He's missed a couple of team meetings. Maybe he feels his team isn't very good around him. Picked up DeSean Jackson. It was the best fit. No question about it. He's 30 years. Look, he gives the Bucs what they need. He's not a guy who's going to catch 75 balls, but that's what Adam Humphries is there for. He's good at that. But every catch counts. They all count with this guy. He's the number one active leader in career yards per catch. JP, that's a fact. Nobody can argue that. And yeah. Cutter say when the season ended. I was sitting there in the front row when he said it. We need a guy who can turn a 12-yard slant into a 55-yard touchdown. That's what Jackson does. And it also shows the impact of Jameis Winston, Justin. You know, Jameis Winston with what he said a couple of weeks ago about DeSean Jackson, I think he kind of went out of his way to talk him up. He probably knew at that point that Jackson was target number one for Dirk Cutter and Jason Light. He knew that. And it also shows that what Jameis wants, Justin, within reason, Jameis is going to get, and that's just the way things are right now with this franchise.
All right, Ira Kaufman, it's at iKaufman76. I'm at Commish Online. Follow us on Twitter. So DeSean Jackson gets a 3-year deal, Ira. It's, what, $33 million, but the key number is the $20 million guaranteed. So essentially, what we're looking at a 2-year deal, because we know in about 2 years, Jameis Winston's going to get that massive contract. We know Quan Alexander, Mike Evans are going to get massive contracts. So in your opinion, do you see Jason Light maybe trying to load up to make a run before these young players get these massive contracts? Like, let's go out and get some free agents that can maybe put us over the top before guys like Jameis, Mike Evans, and Quan Alexander get their big contracts.
They used to have it in the late 90s and early 2000s, where you'd re-sign your own key guys. And because they've drafted so poorly until last and replaced the rockstar general manager. Don't get me going on that. Don't get me going on the rockstar. Because I think there's only one guy left from the 2013 draft, or maybe nobody. So, you know, Lack comes in, and a couple years ago, I think had the best draft in the NFL. So when you got those players, you want to lock them. That's the Glazer philosophy. Like that is about to happen in a few years. There is a window. Look, when 9-7, Justin, anything less than the playoffs is a bad year. It's bad. You know, unless Winston goes down and he, Buck fans everywhere. They raise ticket prices. The time to do it is now. Go, go, go.
So DeSean Jackson, they bring him in, and I made this comment on Twitter. I want to see if you agree with it, because the first thing you start to see is the draft guys start chiming in, right? Well, they signed DeSean Jackson. You can take the Bucs out of the running for a wide receiver, maybe a guy like John Ross who ran the 4.2. There was some links there, some mock drafts had the Bucs taking John Ross. And so they now just kind of discount the fact that the Bucs could still go wide receiver. They listen, this is a team that had Dante Dye on the field, Bernard Reedy, Freddie Martino.
That's right. I mean,
they haven't had any depth at wide receiver over the last couple of years as they're trying to groom Jameis Winston, yet that position has continually gotten just hammered with injuries. To me, why not build depth at wide receiver? And if you look at the pattern, the recent pattern by Jason Light, you know, they signed Grimes last year, then they draft Hargraves, both corners. They sign Ayers and then draft Noah Spence, defensive ends. Why in the hell would they not sign DeSean Jackson? And then if you got a chance to get a guy who ran a 4.2 at the combine and throw him in the slot, and oh, by the way, he can return kicks and punts and so can DeSean Jackson, why wouldn't you consider that, Ira?
Commish, I hate to agree with you. It burns my butt to agree with you on anything. But your point's taken, once again. Any Buck fan who thinks that the acquisition of DeSean Jackson precludes the Bucks from drafting a wide receiver in the first couple of rounds are nuts. These people are crazy. It's the old Buck formula. It worked very, very starting in 97 when this franchise turned itself around. Rodney Barber didn't start day one. Brian Kelly didn't start at corner day one. They had good veterans ahead of them. A couple of years later, the veterans were gone, and Rodney Barber was well-versed in the Buck defensive scheme. And he had showed coaches enough that they had confidence in him. That's what good teams do. You don't always have to start a rookie. So you draft a wide receiver in the third round. You let him return kicks in year one. Let him play a little bit. And look, DeSean Jackson's not going to be here. You and I both know that. So there's your answer right there. You get a chance to get a good wide receiver. You take it. It's all about weapons for Winston. It's still number one on the priority list. They're not done yet. Of course, they got a huge void at running back, which they didn't certainly anticipate a year ago. So that's another yawning need for this franchise that they didn't need, quite frankly. Surround Winston with weapons. That's what you do when you get a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and you know that's why I was scratching my head over his first couple of seasons. And I think Jason Light realized that, and that's why that's the main focus this offseason. And DeSean Jackson is just the first piece of what they're going to try and surround Jameis Winston with. We just talked about a wide receiver in the draft. Where do you fall, Ira, on running back? I've made the point that running back, to me, might be it's definitely among their biggest needs, and it might be their biggest need. And let me hear me out on this. The reason is Dirk Koetter wants to run the football, and Jameis Winston is at his best in the play action, right? You can't play action if you don't have a running game. They didn't have a running game last year, and I think it really hurt their play action pass, and I think that ultimately really hurt their offense as a whole. The running backs they have on the roster right now, they re-signed Jacquizz Rodgers. Great. You know, good to bring him back. Charles Sims, he can't run between the tackles. He's a good receiver, can't run between the tackles. Doug Martin, who knows what's going to happen with Doug Martin? This team needs a running back.
They need a running back, Commish. They need a running back, but I don't think they need to panic about a running back.
Well, that's the positive, right? That's the draft is loaded at running back, so there is no need to panic this year.
There isn't. I mean, even Latavius Murray, he's okay, but why would the Raiders give up on him at 27? That's the thing about free agency. It raises some flags. With DeSean Jackson, they didn't want to pay him. I understand that. Calais Campbell, Arizona, didn't want to pay him. I understand that. Sometimes teams are rebuilding, so the Bucs are in position to pounce like they did today. I don't think Buck fans are in a panic about the running back situation. I would not use a first-round pick unless Dalvin Cook was sitting there. I'm not trading up for Dalvin Cook, Commission. I'm not doing that. I'm not trading up for Leonard Fournette. I'm not trading up for Cook, although some people think he could be as good as Warrick Dunn. That's high praise, Commission. High praise. Warrick Dunn was a heck of a player for the Buccaneers. But I'm not trading up for a running back unless it's Adrian Peterson, you know, in 2007. I'm just not doing that. But I agree with you. At this point, at this juncture, running back, I think, is the most glaring need for this football team.
Yeah, and with this draft being so deep at running back, there's no need, as you said, to panic. I actually think there's a chance Cook could even slide to maybe the mid-team. Maybe, listen, I know you wouldn't do a massive trade-up, but if Dalvin Cook is within striking distance and you only have to give up a fourth-round pick to move up a couple of slots to get him, I think Jason Light has shown both of us, right? If there's a guy, and he normally does this in the third into the late second, he's done it each of the last 2 years, but if there's a guy he wants, then he's gonna go and get that guy. And he hasn't done it in the first round, but you know, for him, he's been picking high in the first round the past few years. This is the first time he's picking at 19, to where you move up a couple slots, you give up a fourth round pick, and you get the guy you want. That could be Cook.
I don't mind that, Jason. I thought going where you go from 19 to 10, you got to give up a second. I don't want to give up a second.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I completely agree. The new name, and it's not new, but the name that's being floated out there, and I'm sure you've seen it on Twitter, is Christian McCaffrey. Stay at 19, get McCaffrey. This is a guy who's 200 pounds. Listen, tough physical runner, has great measurables, as we saw at the combine, but he is only 200 pounds. Is this an offense that wants to be a power offense and run between the tackles, or would they adapt their offense to the type of player Christian McCaffrey is?
You know what, Commish? If they get this kid and Cutter uses him the way I think Cutter can use him, and I think the way you think Cutter is innovative in his philosophy, I think within a year, this kid could be a tremendous fan favorite. A tremendous fan favorite at Ray J. He's a little faster than people give him credit for. His versatility is off the charts. He can catch as well as Charles Sims, and he can run a heck of a lot better than Charles Sims. I don't know how you feel, JP. I see very little way that Doug Martin's going to be on this football team for week one of the regular season. I just don't see it. To me, they got to get out of jail free card on Doug Martin, and if I'm the Bucks, I'm going to use it. I can't trust him at this point in terms of injuries, his discipline, all are now in question. And he's not playing the first three games, no matter what happens, Justin. So I'm moving on. I'm moving on from Doug Martin. And that doesn't mean I don't think he can play well for another team, but I think his days in Tampa are done. They need a running back. McCaffrey at 19, I think very well could be there. There's always a chance Cook could be there. But I like this kid. His versatility, he's a three-down back. I don't even think you got to replace him on third down and put Sims in. I'm not sure Sims is more effective on third down than McCaffrey. I got a lot of faith in Cutter being able to utilize. He did it in a tremendous manner in 2015. The Bucs had the number five offense in football with a rookie quarterback who took every snap. People have to realize that. But as you said, the lack of a running game last year really killed him on play action, and that's the reason that they plunged as an offense. They were nowhere near the attack they were in 2015. Not even close.
Yeah, and I think, too, and I was just thinking about the depth at running back while you were speaking there. Are you okay with Jaquizz Rodgers and Charles Sims, I guess, and Peyton Barber being the backups, or do they need, obviously looking in the draft for a feature back, but there are some other running backs out there in free agency that I think as time goes on, you're going to start to see maybe some of those running backs sign maybe one-year deals. Should the Bucs look at one of these veterans that are available to a one-year deal, or are you okay with the depth they have and adding just one more back in the draft?
I think if they add one more back, I'm comfortable. Now look, DeKemper, your buddy, every time I do a podcast with DeKemper, he finds a way. We could be talking about Jason Light, and we could be talking about Steve Greenberg, the capologist, and somehow, some way, your man DeKemper finds a way to take a swipe at Charles Sims. He can't stand Charles Sims. Now,
well, he's twinkle toes. So.
I'm Charles Sims' only defender, no. Jason. Yeah, you know, Buck fans are up in arms about Sims. He had a bad year. He had a bad year last year. He averaged 2.9, which is about what Doug Martin averaged. The year before, Jason, the guy accounted for 1,000 yards from scrimmage, backing up an all-pro running back. Nobody does that. That never happens. 1,000 yards from scrimmage behind an all-pro back? I'm not ready to throw Charles Sims to the wolves. Now, look, he's got to stay healthy. But with him and Rodgers, and I think, you know, Cutter's got a little soft spot for Peyton Barber. Don't throw him out of the mix. And add a rookie. I think they're going to be fine, Jason. But I think move on.
Yeah, and I think, and when we're talking about Charles Sims, what frustrated me the most, Ira, wasn't the fact, and I think he just needs to settle into his role. What frustrated me is that he was a third-round pick, and you just hope that, you know, could he develop into, because obviously we sit back and we see David Johnson in the third round, and we see Jay Ajayi right. in the fifth round, and you're thinking, maybe Charles Sims can develop into that feature back, and then you already have it on your roster. And what was a big blow, I think, to fans like me is that Charles Sims had an opportunity last year to be the feature back, and you're thinking, here we go, he's going to take over for Doug Martin. And instead, he couldn't run between the tackles. It was almost like he was running scared at times. And you can't run
you're
scared.
Right now,
you can't run scared in the NFL.
You're right, Jason. And David Johnson's a special talent. JC, he's a special talent. You know, that's a tough comparison. But you're right. He had an opportunity last year when Martin pulled that hamstring. He had a chance. He's also been a little injury prone, which, you know, the Bucs are a little wary of. This is a very big year for Charles Sims. Very, very big year to see whether he's even going to be a reliable number two. But he showed me a lot in 2015. And Jason, how quick we forget that opening day victory in Atlanta, you know, which kind of set the tone overall for a good Bucs season. Sims made the play today on opening day, you know, dodging a couple of guys on the way to the end zone with a couple of moves that you and I didn't think he had in him. But overall, very disappointing year for Charles Sims. Jason, let's be honest. With the exception of a couple of games of Jacquizz Rodgers, the Bucs ran the ball very, very poorly last year. I'm not going to give the offensive line a pass on that. But, you know, in retrospect, we see that Martin was not himself even when he came back. I'm not sure he was 100%. Plus, he had all this other stuff going on with them. So they got to get that running game going. I think the way to do that is get a dynamic pick in the draft. Doesn't have to be round one. But get a guy that really is going to make a contribution on the ground in 2017.
All right, so let's go to the offensive line. Donovan Smith's going nowhere. Kevin Pamphile's going nowhere. Ali Marpet, he's there. Is he going to change positions? I'll ask you that in a moment. Damar Dotson's there. He's not going anywhere. I mean, were the struggles clearly and solely on the center last year, because it really looks like they're going to try and upgrade at center this offseason? Or are there deeper issues with the Bucs offensive line that they're maybe ignoring? I don't know. I mean, where do the faults lie along the offensive line?
I think it's an average of. Now, speaking of center, let me make a couple of points. You might not agree with the first one. First point, don't mess around with him. He's on the verge of being a Pro Bowl right guard. Good enough for you, Mr. Cutter? I got to hear you telling me how this guy Marpet can be one heck of a center. You don't snap your fingers and go from right guard to center. It can be done, but I don't think it's a given. I'm hesitant about messing with Marpet. And by the way, guards get paid more than centers. And I don't think Marpet would be, you know, doing any tap dances about this move to begin with. Which brings me to point number two. I'm the only guy in the world saying this, but Nick Mangold games last year. The first injury this guy's ever had. Jason, he never missed. He missed 4 games in 10 years. Anybody can have an ankle injury. The guy can give you 2 good years. You draft the center in the 4th round. You groom him behind Mangold. The guy's tough as nails. He's a tremendous veteran presence in the locker room. You can always use that, especially on the offensive side of the ball. The Bucks don't have a lot of that on that offensive line. And I think he's an instant upgrade. So Mangold's out there. Somebody's going to get him. I don't think you got to pay through the nose to get him. And I think like a Logan Mankins, who I think was instrumental in helping some of these young linemen along before he left, I think you squeeze 2 years out of Mangold. I don't see the argument against Mangold. He's not injury prone. He's not brittle. Go get him, Bucks, and keep Marpet at right guard. How do you like that, young man?
Yeah, you know, I'm not. I don't feel as strongly about it as you do when it comes to Marpet, because when he was drafted, I thought that guy's going to be a future All-Pro center. However, he has progressed so well at guard. I'm okay either way. I don't have as strong of feelings as you that he has to stay at guard. But if they kept him at guard and he became a Pro Bowl guard, like you're saying, how can you argue against that? And if you're Ali Marpet and you see Kevin Zeitler just got $12 million a year and you saw Ronald Leary got $9 million a year, why on earth would you want to go to center and probably lose half of that? The idea of Mangold.
Jason, you know what might be part of driving this? Tell me this might be a stretch, but I don't know. I got it in the back of my mind. They're determined to get Sweezy on the field one way or the other. Mm-hmm. They want Sweezy out there, and maybe it justifies picking him up in free agency, and last year was a disaster for the guy. So if he's healthy, they want him out there, where I say let him battle Pamfield for the left guard spot. May the best man win. And they keep telling me that they want to get the best five guys on there, and I'm not sure Sweezy's one of the best five guys.
Well,
if I can sign Mangold, I'm not sure Sweezy, maybe Sweezy's a backup, Jason, and I'm okay with that if that happens.
Ira, how many offensive linemen go through back surgery at, 28, 29 years old, and then come back and contribute in a big way?
Well, what's your backup plan if you move Marpet to center and Sweezy isn't available at right guard? Who's your right guard? Caleb Benenach? I mean, you know, let's not go crazy here. Get a center. We saw what Alex Mack did last year. I mean, the right move at center can really solidify everybody around the center. If it's the right guy, Max Unger years ago, Alex Mack. I think Mangold's one of those guys. Not going to be here in 6 years. Okay. But a very good bridge player. They need more character in that room, more veteran leadership on the offensive side of the ball. You know, defense, you've got veterans. You've got McDonald. You've got Ayers. You've got Grimes. You got veterans. Mm-hmm. Looking for a little more leadership. I want to fill that void that was lost when Mankins left.
Yeah, I think Mangold would be I'd be very excited if they got Mangold, and I think he's a guy that maybe isn't the dominant player he was at center years ago, but he can hold his own. He's got a ton of experience. He can help the young players along that offensive line, and where maybe he lacks or where his talent has diminished over the years or his strength isn't what it used to be or he doesn't move around like he used to, he can make up for that with that experience in technique and whatnot. But you mentioned veterans on defense, and the one player you didn't mention was their newest acquisition. So we already talked about DeSean Jackson. How about Chris Baker? They finally, to me, it was a position that has had to be upgraded over the last couple of years. I'm a fan of Clinton McDonald. I like Clinton McDonald. Not sure I like him as a starter. I think he's a good rotational guy and good guy that can give you some depth. Akeem Spence, he's also a depth guy. But to go out and get Chris Baker at 320 pounds, a guy who played end in a 3-4, could play nose tackle, now you're going to put him next to Gerald McCoy in the middle, where I think now if you've got a guy next to McCoy that can take up multiple blockers, it's going to make McCoy even that much more better. Valuable signing at only around $5, $6 million a year. I thought that was a great signing by the Bucks on the first day of free agency.
Yeah, you know, I should have taken Jason Light at his word, Justin, because, you know, last month we were having a chat and he mentioned finding those $5 or $6 million players, those second guys, rather than the big splash. And I should have picked up on that because I've been yakking for 2 months about Calais Campbell. I'm not going to be a hypocrite, Jason. But you know what? when the dust settled, Dustin, they didn't want to pay Campbell that kind of money. I mean, I really don't blame them. I really can't blame them. The Jags are going crazy. Shad Khan is pissed off, you know, that they had such a terrible year when they were everybody's preseason darlings. And that's what it's all about in Jacksonville. They're going hog wild. They got Malik Jackson last year, and now they're paying Campbell $14 million. I wanted Campbell. I like the 6'8 stature. I think Mike Smith in Jacksonville had a couple of those guys at defensive tackle. They were very effective. I think they were John Henderson and Stroud, mm-hmm. and Jacksonville was very sturdy against the run. Be honest, just like the Bucs ran the ball poorly in 2016, they defended the run poorly in 2016. Very, very poor run defense, even with Will Golston. And I know Golston's coming back, and he is a pretty good run stuffer. But, Justin, with Will Golston at left end, they still did a bad job stopping the run last year. Baker's an upgrade, and I like that three-man rotation with McDonald. Certainly, and a little bit of protection if McCoy gets hurt, although he's been pretty reliable the last 5 years. I'm not going to knock Chris Baker. I think Campbell's the better player, but I'm not paying Campbell $14 million. I can't knock Light for not paying Campbell $14 million. Baker is a very nice fallback position. He's an upgrade, Justin. If you can upgrade, I'm not going to knock it.
Bucs fans wanted Olivier Vernon last year until they realized, oh shit, he's going to make $17 million a year. And then Bucs fans, including yourself and me and Lee and Steve and all the guys at Joe Bucs fan, I think everyone wanted Calais Campbell because, you know, you just look at the leadership he brings along with the talent, and boy, that just would have looked really nice for this defense. But then you realize the price tag for him is $14 million a year, and it's just too much. And you know, while he might be the better player, Chris Baker's the better value at $5, $6 million a year, and it frees you up to be able to go out and get other players, or, as you said before, the Glazers want to re-sign their own players. And not only the players I mentioned before, but you got Ali Marpet, you got Donovan Smith, all these young players eventually are going to get new contracts, so you can't go out and break the bank on one guy in Calais Campbell and then have that contract, which is a four-year contract, which probably three of it's guaranteed, but now that's kind of weighing over your head and forcing you to make tough decisions when it comes to your own players. Now, this was a very economical move, and I think a very good move for this defense. The next move they have to make is they have to address the safety spot. I mean, Bradley McDougal, they didn't re-sign him. They re-signed Chris Conte. And I know you listen to the Bucs Uncensored podcast, and I have these stick carriers, I call them. My listeners to the podcast send in these voice memos that they record on their phone. I call them Bucs takes, Ira. And you think I use some foul language. The language I get from my listeners, from the stick carriers, when I ask them to send me some takes about Chris Conte, whew, it's ugly. There's not a lot of fans of Chris Conte in this area. So when they re-signed him, my Twitter blew up. I'm sure yours did as well. Not really understanding the move. I thought Chris Conte was okay last year, and he actually won a couple of games. The game against Kansas City, the game against Chicago. Yes. I mean, those were key interceptions at key points in the game. Your thoughts on Chris Conte, your thoughts on the safety spot?
I think you got the perfect word. He's okay. And even if McDougal comes back, and he might, he's okay, Justin. But playoff teams are supposed to have guys that are better than okay. I don't think the Bucs are well fortified at the safety spot, even if they have McDougal, Tandy, and Conte. I don't see a stud. And I'm not talking about John Lynch. I mean, I don't see, you know, an impact player out of those three guys. Now, you're right. Conte was in the right spot at the right time against the Chiefs. That was the biggest play in that game. It was the biggest win of the season. Granted, can't argue that. He made a couple of other plays. But in the first half of the season, he was getting toasted, Dustin. You saw it. Maybe Mike Smith adjusted the defensive alignment, the scheme. That helped Conte. But he was getting burned repeatedly in the first half. Justin, 2 years ago, people in the organization thought McDougal was going to be a stud. This guy's got it. I don't see the development. I don't see it. And I think that's one of the reasons the Bucs let him test free You see anybody tripping over themselves to sign Doug McDougal? No. Anybody want this guy? McDougal? So, you know, and as a bigger point, Justin, I don't want to scare Buck fans out here, but you don't mind scaring them either, do you?
No, not at all.
The list of Buck free agents, you know, nobody ever talks by other teams. That's a little scary. Mm-hmm. A little bit scary. Joe Horley, you know, yeah, you ever hear Horley mentioned? You know, the Miami Dolphins are looking at Joe Horley. What I'm saying is the Bucs had a very good – let's not get carried away. Last time we got carried away was 2011, coming off 10-6. They weren't nearly as good as people thought they were. The difference is Jameis Winston's the real deal, and Freeman was a fraud. That's the difference. You know, and they didn't have Mike Evans either. So, look, 9-7, I got no problem with it. They're in striking distance. But this is, you know, these are not the New England Patriots we're talking about right now. Everything's have to go right. And I think they need an upgrade in safety. I think your point well taken. Conte is okay. And you know what, Justin? Okay is not good enough anymore for me around here.
Well, and I don't think it's okay with them either, and that's why they're being so aggressive. J.J. Wilcox is coming in for a visit as of the time we're recording this podcast, so we'll see if they address safety with him. And Ira, I think good news, and I don't know if they want to play a rookie very early, but again, Conte's deal is a two-year deal with only 1 year guaranteed, so essentially it's a one-year deal with Chris Conte to where you could draft the safety and ease them in. I'm not saying in the first round, but this is a very deep draft at safety to where maybe in the second, third round you can get a safety, develop them properly, and then maybe halfway through their rookie season they're seeing more playing time, and then by year two they're full-time starters. That might be the only place you can get a true impact safety. Tony Jefferson signed with the Ravens for nearly about $9 million a year.
Bethea signed today.
Yeah.
Antoine Bethea signed with somebody today. I thought he would have been a nice pickup for the Bucs. He's a real class act. He can still play. I think he's 32, but he can still play. Mm-hmm. He was a real pro because if you're playing hard for the 49ers, Justin, at the end of last season, you're a pro's pro. Hey, one thing about the draft, Justin, we'll talk a lot more about the draft in the months ahead, but I like the way the draft, you know, sits up for the Bucs in terms of their needs. I think they're good matches. You mentioned safety. You mentioned running back. You mentioned receiver. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if they didn't have Jameis Winston right now, Justin? It'd be a mess. They'd be talking about Bobby Hoyer and Tony Romo. I mean, what a luxury to have Jameis Winston sitting there. These other teams are scrambling, and Buck fans are sitting back saying, go find yourself a quarterback. Glennon turned, you know, makes a fortune in Chicago. It's absurd. You know, the guy's 5-18 or what? 5-13 is the pro. I think he deserves a chance, Glennon. But to throw that kind of money is an indication, Justin, of how many teams are out there desperate, and that's the word, for a quarterback. And for the Bucs to have Winston, I think it just gives them a tremendous leg up.
Well, and I tell Bucks fans I know, and I tell friends that I have at work the same thing. It's not about just having an early draft pick. It's having an early draft pick in a year where there's a quarterback to be had. Because if there's not a good quarterback, you find yourself overdrafting a quarterback, which sends your organization down into a downward spiral. And we've seen that with some organizations. For the Bucks' sake, The lucky part is the year that they were terrible was the year they had Jameis Winston sitting on the board. You know, another good example is the Colts have had really, really, maybe really, really bad years two of the last, 20 years. And both of those years they got Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. It's not about just having a high draft pick and drafting a quarterback high. It's having a bad year in a year where you're going to have a talented quarterback to get. And yes, the Bucs lucked out by having Jameis Winston sitting there staring them in the face, and he's going to win a lot of games, and he's going to take this team. I forget who said it. It might have been Tony Dungy. You probably know better than I do, but somebody said that Jameis Winston's going to win multiple Super Bowls in his NFL career. I mean, he's 2 years in, Ira, and he just for some reason
he could have been in the 20. He could have been in this draft class.
Yeah,
Justin, he could have been. Now, Justin, to be fair, let's also throw a bone for Tennessee because Mariota is going to be outstanding too.
Sure,
I'd rather have Winston. I think you would too, but Mariota is going to be very good, and you know what? Tennessee is going to be very good. They got two high draft picks. They got John Robinson, who was Jason Light's right-hand man. He's very sharp as their general manager. Keep an eye on Tennessee. That's a weak division, Justin. Wouldn't take much for the Titans to establish themselves, I think, as the team to beat in that AFC South. That's a bad division.
Really good offensive line. 1-2 punch at running back. I really like a lot of the things that the Titans are doing, and I know that they're trying to get a wide receiver in there to pair with Mariota, and I know they were trying to get one of these free agent receivers, but they might just sit there in the draft and get one that he can build Mariota, that is, with them for a long time. Ira, I mean, we're 40 minutes in. I mean, it just flew by. We talked to everything about the Bucs.
That's outstanding.
Hey,
outstanding.
Before we wrap it up, though, the initial wave of free agency is over. But Jason Light, over the last couple of years, especially last year, he didn't really make a splash signing on the first wave of free agency. It was that second, third, and fourth. Do you see Jason Light still bringing in, a couple of guys that – they're going to make us go, well, that's another good signing by Light, because it seems like a lot of the decisions he makes, and you're not going to bat 1,000, right? But a lot of the decisions he has made over the last couple of years have been pretty positive decisions. Are they still going to be very active over the next week, 2 weeks, and into the rest of free agency?
You know the answer to that question, Justin. As soon as you asked it, the answer is yes, of course. And it's going to be the $5 million free agent that contributes, that makes them a better team. Whether the guy's competing for a starting spot, maybe a safety, or the guy's a backup defensive end. Howard Jones is gone. Jacques Smith, Justin, we don't know about Jacques Smith. Yeah. Spence is a guy that's developing. Golston is negligible on the pass rush. I'm still looking for a guy, double digit sacker, Justin. I'm not going to stop till I get one. I mean, the ghost of Simeon Rice haunts this franchise, my man. Where is the double-digit sacker? McCoy's come close a couple of times. Can Spence make that jump? It's a big jump, Justin, from 5.5 to 10. If he stays healthy, he might be able to do it. Golston's not going to do it. Ayers isn't going to do it. I want that double-digit man because, don't forget, one of the things Cutter said, along with we better stretch the field, is – I think this was Light that said it. You can't have too many pass rushers. You got to go, especially in the NFC South, Justin, especially. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of seeing Drew Brees carve this defense up. I'm tired of it. How many years the Buck fans got to watch this? 11 years, 12 years, him stepping up in the pocket in the next to last week of the season. All the Bucks had to do was win that game. No, can't stop Brees.
The deepest
completions, 28 completions. How many years are we going to watch this? Put him on his ass, Justin. Put him on his ass. And that was one of the reasons I wanted Campbell with that 6'8 frame coming up the middle, draped over Brees. Brees loves to step up in that pocket. We'll see if Baker can do what I think Campbell could do. You use the right word, value. That's what you're going to see from the Bucs in the next couple of weeks in free agency.
Yeah.
Value. And Justin, Light has learned the lessons of 2014. You can't pin all those stiffs on Light.
Nope.
He certainly didn't pick Josh McCown. Some people think Lovey picked Anthony Collins. I think Lovey did pick Michael Johnson. Light veered away from his core philosophy. He's not going to do that again, Justin. The splash, I think, is over. The rest are going to be good value players. I'm down with that.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think that's going to be exciting. And going back to the draft and pass rusher. You mentioned before that this is just a perfect year for the Bucs because the deep positions in this draft are positions that the Bucs need: running back, wide receiver, safety. Well, you can throw in pass rusher and tight end as well. I mean, this draft is very deep at those positions and not so deep at others, but those are all positions that the Buccaneers could address and should address at some point in this draft and take advantage of the depth there. Ira Kaufman, it's at iKaufman76 on Twitter. I'm Justin Pulaski, the commish, at commish online. And Ira, I enjoyed doing this podcast with you, talking Bucks, and I'm sure you and I will hook up one more time, at least one more time, before we get to the draft. And maybe, you know what we should do is see if we can't get Lee and Steve on and just do a four-person round table leading up to the draft, if you're up for that.
That wouldn't, you know, and maybe we do it at Abe's place or something. Okay. Not a bad idea, my friend.
Not a bad idea.
I agreed with you way too much today, Pulaski. Next time the gloves are coming off, baby.
Good. I need to use more four-letter words, but you agreed with me so much, so I was just, you know, I'm just, you know, got a big smile on my face.
My bad, Justice. My bad.
That's good. Hey, Ira, appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Buddy, take care.
All right, see ya. That's Ira Kaufman. Check out his podcast always at joebucksfan.com. And, of course, Bucks Uncensored, 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, Saturday mornings, first come, first serve at joebucksfan.com. Subscribe to both of our podcasts on iTunes. And you can subscribe to Bucks Uncensored, Podbean, Podcast Addict. They're all there for you. When you subscribe at noon on each of those days, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday, the podcast will download directly to your mobile device. You don't even have to think about it, and then you can listen to it at any time you want to. Appreciate everyone. Appreciate the Joes, joebucksfan.com, for being the host of Ira and I. We love doing these podcasts. We love talking about the Bucks. And we love the fact that you all are just blowing up our podcast. It's been phenomenal. I hope you all enjoyed this joint episode between the two of us. And we'll have much more to come. All right. And as always, the Buccaneers just did it, right? Because during tampering time, they spoke softly. Shh. Speak softly. And carry that big motherfucking stick. Nailed it.